Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 18th of November, recording at 8:33 Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights today. Asian stock markets lower today, down quite sharply in China, and also for the Hang Seng Index, also Australia. European markets were down, but then recovered with the help of a Wall Street rally. Wall Street has been all over the place. Typical action that we've seen recently. It was up a fair amount, and then it fell about a couple of hundred points on the Dow, and is currently down slightly. As I speak, long-dated government bonds prices are strong across the boards, and in currencies, the dollar was a little bit easier here for a while today, but then strengthened, and is probably around the highs of the day. As I actually speak, give you an example, euro got up to 127, but is back at 125.88. Not a big move, but dollar index is back up to 87.37. That has reversed some gains that we had seen in the gold market, although it does not appear to have affected silver, although silver is off the high. Platinum saw a small gain in here today. And industrial metals are mixed today. Agricultural commodities, mostly a little bit easier. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously, in terms of stock market, sentiment is fragile, and despite, or perhaps one I should say because of, the weakness that we have seen, economic fears predominate, and everybody knows that earnings estimates for corporations are for the most part too high and are likely to come down. Everybody knows that the global economy is still weakening, at least as indicated by the lagging data that inevitably we get when economic reports are issued. So it remains a nervous time for equity investors, to put it mildly. Now, many of us feel that valuations are really quite attractive at these levels. On any basis, certainly on an historic comparative basis. Yes, we don't see records right across the board, but the bottom line is we see quite attractive valuations for most stock markets. Now, in terms of price-earnings ratio, though, everybody knows the price, but the P side of it, but there are big concerns over the E, or earnings, as I mentioned before. Also, in terms of yields, there is the fear of and probability of some additional dividend cuts. It's quite likely that many of those big dividends will be reduced in the weeks or months ahead. But that still does not negate the fact that these are attractive levels by most measures. For equities. Now, a big concern, which I have aired before, but I've also discussed here today, is that question of whether or not the factors that have revived stock markets following bear market trends since World War II, whether those all kick in and do the same thing here in this cycle, enabling markets to establish bottoms either in late 2008 or in 2009? Or is this unprecedented situation of a vast debt mountain which is beginning to unravel, and the global deleveraging that has taken place, as I say, this is without precedent We've had severe bear markets before, we've had severe recessions, we've even had depressions, but we never had the debt buildup that we have seen across so many countries, and particularly we have never seen the levels of leverage used in the global economy that we have seen in this decade. So a legitimate question is, has that changed the game? Is this a game changer, in other words? And creating a situation that will make it very difficult for the fiscal stimulus packages around the world, from China to the USA, and the lower interest rates that we've had so far, and no doubt are pending, to put a floor under stock markets and to stem the economic deterioration that is helping to drive them lower. Well, that's the big question, and nobody knows the answer to that for sure. But my feeling is that we've probably seen monetary and fiscal policy authorities move sufficiently, or they're now committed to moving sufficiently, albeit belatedly, to prevent the sort of grinding deflationary trough that that many investors fear. My own hunch is that they will succeed in putting a floor under the global economy sometime next year, as revealed by the official lagging data, and that we will get a recovery, and that that recovery will reignite commodity inflation in the years ahead. And that will probably lead to a series of stop-go cycles that we see for the global economy. That would be no bad outlook, actually. It would be something not too dissimilar from what we saw from the late 1960s through to 1982, when we had a long period of valuation contraction on Wall Street, which created a glass ceiling for the Dow at about 1,025. Emerging market stock markets, notably Japan, did far better. And I would expect China and Vietnam and probably India to do far better, or Brazil to do far better, if we saw a glass ceiling, say, for the S&P up near the 2000 highs and the 2000 and 7 highs. I think that's a quite likely script overall. Where we get this massive stimulus that does, as I say, put a floor under global economies and stock markets, does cause a recovery and another bull market move, but overheating commodity prices cause interest rates to move up, which check the advance, put us back into a more bearish phase, and increase the risk of recession, and so on. And we may get that in a rolling sequence, say, as we saw throughout the 1970s and 1980s. That's a possibility. It's always a bit different this time, but I think in terms of parallels, that would not surprise me. How do we actually play it? Well, cautiously, in a word. I do think that one could be nibbling at equities at these levels. On the other hand, there's no great hurry. Now, in my review, I mentioned in answer to an email that on commodity shares, I discussed those. I discussed some of the positions that I have that I'm looking forward to adding to. And I also discussed some new positions that I expect to be opening in the months ahead. But as I've said before, I'm in no hurry. And China, for instance, one of my favorite stock markets in terms of long-term recovery potential. And I think its technical action is more positive than most right now. But it had a downside key day reversal in here today that, in my view, is most likely capped the rally, and it'll pull back for more ranging base formation development. So all the more reason for me not to go rushing back into these markets. Although I still think there's a better than even odds chance of seeing a year-end rally. But will it stick? My guess is that even a good rally carrying well into the first quarter of the year, which we have often seen in more benign years for equities, even if that were to occur, And that would be a best case scenario. I still think we would have some pullbacks, lengthy pullbacks, and base formation extensions. So, in terms of activity, it's a good time to be thinking about what one wants to be adding to one's portfolio. It's a very good time just to be watching and monitoring to see the way the charts shape up, because they will show us the next leaders, the next markets that are likely to dominate the performance tables. And we've been asked about long-dated government bonds here today. Comments that some people have been buying these. Well, Owen and I have been consistent as far as the long-dated government bonds are concerned. The point that we have repeated over and over again is that while investors worry much more about recession and the possibility of deflation or disinflation, then they worry about inflation, and that's the case right now. Obviously, people are not worried about inflation right now. They're worried about recession or worse. So while that persists, there will be safe haven seeking in these long-dated government bonds. Therefore, that will weigh on yields and push prices up a bit higher. But as Owen said, I think very effectively in his comment here today, that backing the long-dated government bonds today is a bit like backing the US dollar and the Japanese yen, the former carry trade currencies that are benefiting from the unwinding of those carry trade positions. And they're also getting some momentum buying as are bonds. Now, that when equities do bottom, then we are likely to see those trends reverse. In other words, I actually look for a weaker dollar and a weaker yen, and we haven't seen that yet. They're still very firm, but I do anticipate that these rallies are unsustainable beyond the medium term, and that we do see a clear deterioration in the uptrends for the dollar and the yen, that is most likely going to coincide with a stronger period for equity markets and a weaker period for long-dated government bond prices. So I think one needs to bear that in mind, and I hope that I made that point clear. But if not, you will see Owen's comment as well. Now, gold is no less immune to the deleveraging that we have. Well, it is less immune to the deleveraging that we've seen in other markets, but it doesn't mean that it's entirely immune to it. And the trends for these precious metals suggest to me that they are at levels that represent interesting value, but I can't put my hand over my heart and say that the downward corrections are over. The best tactic for those of you who are quite interested in the precious metals that I can suggest is that you buy them when they catch the downdrafts, and you lighten those positions when they see the stronger rallies. And we've had a lot of that because there's been quite a bit of volatility in the markets recently. Or you may just prefer to sit on the sidelines and watch the show. Now, I think the same also applies to the agricultural commodities, that a number of them look to be at interesting levels right now, as do a number of the industrial metals. But the patterns, in my view, cannot support more than technical rallies at this stage. And again, I can't put my hand over my heart and say that we've seen the final lows for any of those markets either. So I think we're going to see a further period of this volatile trading action overall. The volatility that we have seen has deterred a lot of people from participating. It certainly deterred Owen and myself from trading, because it's created more of a casino environment overall. And we like to think that we're trading, or when we trade, against a background of having the odds pretty much on our side. This looks like too much of a coin toss environment in here, which is a key reason why we haven't been trading recently. And I don't like to trade when I have personal distractions, and I've had some of those recently, as you probably realize. So that's the background as I see it. And as I wind up this broadcast, the Dow is close to 100 points higher. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.